Hello.
Hey there, we're on.
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes, I can. You're a little low, but...
Really? Okay, hold on. I'm going to see if I need to put you on speaker.
Okay.
I'm going to do... You know what? I'll talk louder if I have to. I'm just so excited you're here. You're my first remote podcast.
Woohoo! Interview. I'm so excited.
It is exciting. And I'm going to put the disclaimer in the front. Let's just get to it. Ladies and gentlemen, this is an amazing woman friend of mine. She is one of the first that I know of, one of the first female PhDs who owns her own film production company. She's a co-author of the ever popular book called Fuck Yeah, Get Real with Strong Language. And your PhD is in clinical emphasis and psychology. I want to welcome Dr. Summer Watson.
Well, thank you. I am so happy to be here. This is going to be wonderful.
It really is, because you are like this fireball of energy, and you have so much, just so much. I mean, you have things just shooting out of your ass, girl. I love it. Yeah. Author, strategist, filmmaker, podcast host, documentary creator. And I mean, I have a ton of questions. I really, you know, have a ton of questions, and they're good questions. So again, thank you for being here. Now, you are in Washington, D.C., but outside of Virginia. I used to live there in Alexandria, but you're close to, what is it? Is it Old Town?
Right. So I'm actually in Northern Virginia. I always say Washington, D.C. because kind of people know, you know, where that is. And we're just about 17 miles outside of D.C. We're in Northern Virginia. And yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, I want to talk about several things, and I know I just have a short amount of time with you, so let's just get to it. As far as let's talk about your book, because your book is so awesome. There's several things I love about it. Number one, the information. I mean, it is just mind blowing, and I thought I was the only person out there that used F bombs, but it's just part of my language, and we're gonna talk about that. And it's a small book. It fits in your purse. It's not lengthy. It's just it's like a little pocket tool. It's like a little Polly pocket tool of how to unfuck yourself. So
yeah,
where did you come up with the title Fuck Yeah, Get Real with Strong Language? And this is co-written by you, Dr. Summer Watson, and Sheila Kirkbride.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that. How that became.
Well, okay. So we were actually headed out to another author's book signing. So as we were driving, we were talking about language, and we were talking about strong language, and the co-author and I are married to Marines. And so we thought, wow, they use this language. Many, many military use this language as a bonding tool. It's part of the culture. So we started talking about that. We started thinking about that. And we started thinking about how we use it personally. And quite honestly, the co-author doesn't use it very much. She's used it more since she's been married to her husband, who is a Marine. And funny thing is, my husband, who is a Marine, doesn't use it at all, really. So I'm the one who uses the language. And I'll tell you why. Because I grew up with language. I grew up with a strong woman using the language as just something it's not when she couldn't think of something to say, because my mom is very bright and she just used the language, and it was just kind of to get that exclamation mark, that point across. And
right.
And then my grandfather also used the language, and I saw him as, an entrepreneur, a self-starter, a very strong man, and he used language. And I just picked it up, and I thought, there's nothing wrong with this as long as you're aware of why you use the language, how you use the language. So we began to talk about that, and that is exactly what this book is about. So it's not solely about using the language, but understanding why you use certain language, understanding, and this is really the concept of the book, is understanding your personal value. So we take the idea of strong language.
Yeah, your personal
core
values.
And pose that up against your language, up against your values.
Right. And I'm looking into, because I this book, if you saw it here at my studio, it's bent, it's got highlights, it's got tabs. Because that's how when I read a good book that really I love, it gets abused. It's like, oh, go back to that one. So I want to talk about, and I have this mark on page 55, and I think a lot of people can relate to this, because I know me dropping my F-bombs, like I said, it's just part of me. And for a long time, I didn't. Like, I held back. Because here's I'm going to read on it. Right here, as a little girl, this is in your book, page 55, as a little girl, strong language were words that were unspoken and unused, and strong language is not part of your world. If those words happen to slip from the lips of those around you, it was always followed up with, oh, excuse me for saying that.
Right.
Or, you know, oh, pardon my French. And then somebody will say that. So it's like you learn that strong language were words you needed to apologize for. But in your book, you separate strong language from bad language. So tell us about that.
Well, I think that any language can be hurtful, and it doesn't matter what the word. And as we said in here, it was like, what was it? It was Courtney Love of the band Hole who was calling Gwen Stefani a cheerleader. Gwen Stefani didn't like that because she took some negative connotation to that. And so just being called a cheerleader. And so that isn't even something we would consider a strong language word, but it is how the word was being used that
yes.
made it impacting or negative for a person. So
it had an underlying message.
It did.
Yeah.
And that's where that song, B-A-N-A-N-A-S, you know, with Gwen Stefani came out, that was her response to being called a cheerleader. Not that a cheerleader is bad, but it's the connotation behind how the word was used.
Well, that's going to lead us into the next topic, because you know, we were talking previous to this about how we've been stuck at home, we've been dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic, and we've been stuck at home. And so many of us, I would say 99% of us, are on the phone or on the computer. And I want to bring up something that you worked with. You worked with a Washington, D.C. based Warrior Research Foundation, and you did an article on trolling, harassment, and bullying, and strategic planning on helping to combat that. And you know what? I saw a lot of that online, and I experienced a tiny bit of it. And of course, I know how to handle that fire. But give us some advice, somebody who's maybe going through that, or who experienced that, the trolling and the bullying and harassment. How we have any advice for them?
Well, okay. So what I did was I was the one of the directors for Warrior Research Foundation, and it's a nonprofit that the same person I wrote the book with, Sheila Kirkbride, and I ran together. And so I was asked to write an article for the Marin Voice with the wonderful, wonderful Michael Pritchard. Michael Pritchard is a comedian. He is a national speaker. He speaks about bullying, anti-bullying campaigns. He is amazing. He came up the ranks with Robin Williams, Dana Carvey. So he asked me, Whoopi Goldberg, he asked me to write a co-author, a article with him for the Marin Voice, and that was called Strategic Planning Can Help Combat Trolling, Harassment, and Bullying. And so, and you can find that online, so please feel free to look it up. It's there online.
Actually, you know what, let's pop that in now instead of waiting to the end, because I want to do it both middle, beginning, and end. But your website where they can find you.
Okay, so you can find me at corewomen.com. So that is my website. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, any of those platforms.
And CORE is spelled K-O-R-E.
Correct.
And then women. And we'll talk about that in a minute, what it stands for. So go back to Michael and the article that you wrote with
Okay. him. So I was asked to co-author this article, which I did. And we talk about bullying. We talk about combating trolling and harassment issues. And I have to give you a couple of stats here first. So one in four children have experienced something upsetting on social networking. One in eight young people have been bullied on social media. The data is in the article, so please look it up. So what we talk about in this article is really how we can combat this. We can combat this by peer-to-peer support programs, teaching youth through art and journaling, engaging and encouraging teachers to participate in service opportunities, because we really wanted to get teachers involved. It's a difficult job, but they're the ones who are first line. They're going to see it. They're going to understand that something's wrong. They notice behavior changes in their students right away. So that is really important. And we also want to look at, you know, how emotional intelligence, you know, impacts a part of how we can be more empathic, how we can, you know, restructure kindness, how we can better understand our conscious and unconscious bias.
Right. And this also has to do with grownups, because, I was doing some research on that. Last year, toward the end of last year, September, I had a bully on social media, and there's very little information out there on bullying for grownups, because you think, oh, that's a kid thing. But it is actually now, I know there are there's penal codes now.
Oh, absolutely.
It's against the law to do that.
Well, so there was case law established, and I believe it was established because there were many instances where adults were actually bullying children.
Oh my goodness.
Oh yeah. It was appalling. I mean, any bullying is just so appalling. And we have to remember where this comes from. Where does this come from? Modeling. Mm-hmm. Children see this. First and foremost, modeling. It doesn't even have to be said. They watch behavior. Mm-hmm. We are constantly watching behavior. I don't know about you, but when I was young, my mom would take me to restaurants and we would watch people. That was something we did on our off time, and we loved it. We had so much fun just watching people and their behavior. And maybe that's why I have this interest in psychology, is because my mom actually used to sit with me and we used to look at people's clothes. We used to look at how people walk, what they were talking mm-hmm. about. We were just observing people. Like, I love to go to the airport and watch people.
We're going to go get some coffee. Let's go to the airport.
Right. I mean, really, it is so interesting and intriguing. Behavior, human behavior is so...
It is.
Oh, stimulating.
And you know what? And we're people. So I'm sure in the mix, I must look like one of the, you know, like a pile of ants when you kick over an ant pile.
Right.
And you're like, you know, that's what we look like. But it's true. I mean, and I love to study people more now. I don't know why. Maybe it's just another chapter in my life. And so if anybody's thinking about being a clinical therapist, or like what you do with crisis and psychology.
Right.
I mean, is there's unlimited potential for that.
Oh, absolutely unlimited. And right now, because of what we're going through, I really want to stress these few points here, because we need to understand that because of the quarantine, because of COVID-19, this is a very, very unique and sensitive situation. And many times we're watching media, both social media, media on television, and we're hearing things like crisis. We're hearing things like alert, you know, that are keeping us and our brains engaged in this high alert phase.
Right.
So,
or pandemic, the word pandemic. That word never really was on my lips until now.
Right. Exactly. Good point, Sharon. So these words are constant. And so if we go back to, you know, 9/11, what happened then too is, I don't know, I'm sure you remember the images that we continue to see on TV, the planes crashing into the Twin Towers, you know, hearing these over and over, and we were stuck to the TV, right? And now, and this goes back to bullying and social media. Now we're stuck to social media. Why? Because this is the format, the platform we use to communicate, to engage, to, you know, everything. So we're on.
Well, 9/11, we did not have the social media platforms like we have
not
now.
Not to this degree, exactly. So what's?
I mean, we had them, but yeah, not like.
Right, and so what's happening now is we're being impacted through media, television, social media, internet. You know, about all this crisis, the number of people that are dying per day. And it is important to be aware. I'm not saying not to be aware. Be familiar with what's going on. But we also need to understand our reactions versus, you know, how we respond versus how we react. Right. So to react is based on a moment. It is reflexive and is based in emotion. So the action may result in a reactive behavior versus a positive response.
Okay. I was going to go back to the three things that you wanted to help people with COVID-19.
Right. So one of those things is how we respond versus react. So that's really important because, again, as I said, to react is based in a moment. It's reflexive in nature and it's based in emotion. So the action may result in reactive behavior versus a positive response. So to respond is a slower action. It is a behavior that's thought out and has more of a positive impact. It's giving yourself the opportunity to take a breath before you speak. And so the more we react, the less we see the bigger picture. So the big picture is the goal or outcome goals. What's your goal? What do you want to produce? What is your desired result? So your response versus a reaction is going to help with that desired response.
Now, is that something that's taught or learned? Because
that is learned.
That is learned. And so, oh my God, this is a good question. Nobody taught us how to learn.
Right. And nobody taught us, you know, that there is a significant difference between reaction and response. And so that really comes from modeling. So I know that when I was growing up, I saw different people in my life and those around me do more reactive, being more reactive, you know,
versus responding,
responding and taking a step back, taking a breath. And then thinking about what you're going to say, because that breath actually gives you a moment to really kind of just bring it down, bring your emotions down to a manageable level. So you're not being clouded by your emotions, that you're able to speak and get an actual response that you want versus a reaction.
Right.
So you'll get more of an intended response. So if your goal is, I want this person to hear me, rather than saying, God dang it, fuck, you know, and having somebody's walls go up, you want those walls to stay down.
That is really, it's controlling our emotions. And you know, that comes either two ways. Either, like you said, it's learned, it's studied, or sometimes it comes with age as you're getting older. As you're like, oh, I'm not going to, you know, jump over there and start messing with that. But for those who are coming back out, and we talked about it just briefly before the phone call or the phone interview, what is the two things about, you know, being scared and then getting back out? Because people are hearing all kinds of stuff,
right.
You know.
So,
stay in, don't stay in, 25% capacity. I mean,
so,
you know.
Let me go back to what you just said, because I think what you just said is really, really important. So, yes, we have something that's modeling and learned, and then we have something that it's just natural for us to respond because we're humans, right?
Right.
Or react because we're humans. So here's the thing. This is what I think about. You know how insurance companies charge more for, like, adult males, those that are, you know, within, you know, 16.
Yeah, you got to be 25 and older.
Right.
Your entire, trust me, I know.
So yes. Here's the thing. I don't know if you thought about this, but I have, and why they do this. Because, you know, people are always saying, gosh, how do you work with teenagers? Teenagers are so, but I love working with teenagers. I love that, you know, that they're out there, that they tell you what they think. But here's the thing. Part of that is not just emotion, but part of that is their hormones. So it's innate, it's natural, it's human. So why are they more impulsive? Because of their hormones. Why are they? I know when we were growing up, you know, we were learning how to respond. We were learning what a reaction meant. We were also going through a lot of hormonal changes at the time.
Wow.
So when I think about why they charge more, well, because it's not just because they're, you know, they're reacting, but there is something, you know, of in relation to human development that plays a huge role in that. And what I mean by human development is the development of our hormones. So as you said, as we get older, yes, our hormones look different.
Well, they also, yeah, you're going to love this. I read an article somewhere, because I read a lot, but this article said the reason that you're a little more chill as you're getting old, you're running out of hormones.
Right.
Like when you're born, let's just say, hey, when you're born, you have 100 hormones. And then by the time you hit 50, you're like, oh, you got 3 hormones left. Because those hormones don't give a fuck. They're like, okay.
Right. You don't have time to like, okay, and harbor this and react to that. You just, learned, number one. But two, you also, your hormones have adjusted, look different at 50, 60, 70 than they do at 10, 20, 30, you know? So,
yeah.
All right. But I want to go back to you quickly to my other 2 points. So the first one in regards to the situation and quarantine is respond versus react. The next one is personal control is a constant in this world of change. So what I mean by this is that we have the opportunity to regulate or adjust our emotions. So that's number 2. Think about that. How do we regulate or adjust our emotions, thoughts, and behaviors? How we are feeling, what are we thinking, and how we form our thoughts and how we respond versus react. The next one is adapting and adjusting to our environment, schedules, and change. And that was a big one in the early onset of this quarantine, how we were adjusting and adapting to our environment, our schedules, and change. And you know, by having a young one in the house, having to now be the teacher, the cook, still work, doing all this stuff.
So everything.
How did you adjust? How did you change with the schedule and adapt to that? That took a little bit of time.
Right, right? It did. And not to lose it, because they're watching you. Because I was always thinking, oh my God, and my son has seen me lose it. And I'm like, hey, I'm having a lose it moment. This is what it looks
right.
like. Because I'm human, but I always, because we're not perfect, but yeah, adjusting to the environment of the stay at home. So, you know, are these things that we're going to start seeing now as therapists? I'm not a therapist, but you are, as far as the trauma that COVID has said. And when I say the trauma, you know, being scared, now they're adjusting to environment. Now they got to go back to
right.
work.
So here's the last Here's my last, you know, point in relation to this that I like to talk about with people are words and phrases that we're allowing to impact our conscious and subconscious mind. So to reduce trauma and trigger, and this is just a simple tip, okay? Trauma is a distressing or disturbing experience. That's trauma. So we can have acute trauma, which is a single traumatic event. We can have chronic trauma, which is repeated and prolonged incidents of exposure to a disturbing event, or complex trauma where there's one trauma after another. So words and phrases are used to create stimuli in the brain. So when we hear frightening words or phrases over and over, this can create trauma. So it can go from acute to chronic trauma. So this stuff about pandemic, you know, quarantine, death, scared, this is a crazy situation. We want
social distancing, 6 feet
right,
away, all
this stuff.
That.
We want to limit, number one, is we want to limit our exposure to the verbiage that is frightening or alarming. So example, in the media, it might say, you might hear words that heighten your fear or angst. So over a period of time, this can result in not just acute trauma, but chronic trauma. So reduce your exposure to things that might heighten your stress or fear. So watch the news for 15 minutes a day, because it's not going to significantly change between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m.
Right. Yeah. They want us
right.
to watch it all
so
day.
Well, that time. You're in charge of your life, and you make the decisions about what you choose to impact your wellness. So remember that. It's not somebody else dictating what you should do. You are the one to navigate what you choose to do. And then what you allow your brain to be exposed to may have an impact on your neurochemical changes that happen in your brain, and you can either support or hinder your immune response by allowing that fear in.
You know, a lot of people don't realize that our brain, you know, there's electricity in there. It's a little machine. And so when you said the neurochemicals, everything is affected from what we watch, what we listen to, what we eat, how much sleep, all those things make a healthy or an unhealthy brain.
And a healthy person, because there are a lot of studies now out there how the neurochemicals are linked to our abdomen, our stomach. And so that runs from our stomach to our brain. And so why we get stomach aches, why we're more nervous, why we have butterflies, so to speak, you know, so things are linked up. It's very interesting. So go check out the studies about, you know, your neurons and your stomach, the link between your brain and your stomach. Huge studies are out there right now. And so you want to take a look at that, because it actually affects your entire body, your immune system. So right now you want your immune system to be functioning at its highest level. So if you are fearful, are scared, are traumatized, are continuing to traumatize yourself by watching, by being impacted by things that are creating fear in you, your immune system is going to be impacted by that. And that is not something you want right now. You want your immune system to be functioning at a high level.
You know, and one of the things that, you know, something that people may not realize is, for on the topic of trauma, even something as small as losing your job. Well, not that
that's
small,
huge.
It's huge, because I've lost my job before. I've been laid off, and you're like, fuck, where am I going to pay my bills now? But that's trauma. People don't realize that's a traumatic event. Not being able to pay your bills. Now all of a sudden, you know, what am I going to do? How am I going to pay my electricity? Oh shit, the electricity got cut off. You know, you stack trauma after trauma after trauma, and you've got like this Jenga.
Jenga.
With a block. Okay. Yeah. Well, you got these little fucking Jenga blocks of little traumas stacked, you know, distresses, stack. And now, okay, we're opening up the public. Okay, you can come back out now. So, I mean, what are we going to see now? What's the word? Anger? Are we going to start to see more?
Well, we're going to see a
violence.
Lot more angst. We're going to see some anger. We are already seeing the anger, because really, okay, so here's an example. So we're being asked to wear masks, right? And so we get a vast variety of responses to that. And I don't necessarily think that it's solely about wearing the mask. I think it's about the anger of the situation and what's really going on. So we really need to tap into our own hearts and know your own heart. Understand what you're really angry about. And that's going to take some fleshing out. That's going to take some time. But here's the thing.
Yeah.
Anger's just going to get in the way. So you need to understand where that anger comes from. Because anger is perpetuating whatever. It's either navigating you in a positive way or navigating you through life in a not such a positive way. And so you have the ability to choose how you're going to navigate your life. Again, it's up to you. But if you're having difficulty coping, if you're having difficulty, you know, finding a way to meet your finances, to deal or cope with the anger, reach out, talk to somebody, ask questions, even reach out to me. If I don't know the answer, if I'm not the person to offer the appropriate counseling, I'm going to direct you accordingly
to someone else. And we'll get all that information. They can actually, you know what? We'll tap it in right now. Core Women.
Yeah, if they would just go to corewomen.com, you know, or
and that's core, K-O-R-E, and then women.com. And your website's super easy to navigate.
Yeah.
I was going through it, and it's just very clean and simple.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and I'm going to bring up something. My audience is going to slap me right now. The guy who was killed in Minneapolis.
George. Was it George?
Yes. I am so appalled over that. Now that we're seeing that, you know, barbaric, I mean, that's just so unacceptable. We're adding that. You know, this man was killed. Now we're adding that to the trauma of the COVID-19. I mean, there's just stacks and stacks of fucking Jenga blocks of you know, so does that affect people? That's going to affect our communities.
I do. Have any word? Okay. So this, it is heartbreaking. It is absolutely heartbreaking. So that's the first thing I'm going to say. It's heartbreaking. It breaks my heart. So that's number one. But number two, after you get past the broken heart, there needs to be action towards bringing awareness, continuing to bring awareness to the issue of racism. And so that means action. And let me give you an example. It's something that I just wrote in a post. I have been asked throughout my life, what are you? What are you? And because I come from a very mixed background, racial background, and I had the opportunity at that time, each and every time I was asked that, to either get upset or to educate. And many times, you know, I even had two boys when I was 10 years old. I had to take the city bus to and from school. And my mom used to say, sit behind the bus driver, you're alone, you know, make sure you just mind your own business and sit there. And when your stop comes, get off and come home. Right. And two boys who were teenagers were getting off a stop at a high school, and they stopped and looked at me and just spit in my face. And I don't mean just spit. They loogied in my face solely because of my skin color. And so, and here's the thing. I've been asked many times over and over, you know, what are you? And I'm thinking, well, what do they mean? What am I? I'm a human being, you know? And so, but I also had the opportunity here, and I knew this from a young age, whether to respond or to react. And my response was always, if I had the opportunity to sit down with somebody and educate. And
educate versus
be upset or react. Because that wasn't going to get me anywhere. So I decided that
But people are so quick to pull the trigger, so to speak, just metaphorically speaking. People are so quick to just
react. And I understand part of that reaction. Don't get me wrong. Like, I understand, because it is hurtful. It is harming our society. It is a negative impact on how we actually can work together and become united. I mean, this is a tragic and horrible situation. This has never happened, you know, and yet we're in 2020 and this is still happening. So what I would say to this is, I look at Martin Luther King, I look at people like him, and they educated. They were out there doing the marches. They were out there talking about it. Let's not forget about this. Let's continue to talk. Let's do this peacefully. Let's do this in a way that we can educate folks and unite them. Because again, like language, where we could be like, fuck you, da da da, and those walls are going to go up. People aren't going to listen to that. They're going to think, you know, wow, that person's angry. Well, yeah, I get the anger, but let's educate. Let's get out there and continue to talk. We don't continue to talk and raise awareness and really, you know, really integrate into our community and unite one another and find out strategically how we can do this effectively together. That's important.
Right. Versus separately and angrily, because it doesn't fix. It's never going to fix anything.
That's where I come from in this, because I have experienced racism. I have experienced that. I have gone home when I was a little kid and I was, you know, I would cry, and there are other things that happened along the way. And so, yet I continue to think, how can I better this world? How can I educate, even at a young age? And I don't know if that comes with, you know, something innate in me or something learned. And I think both.
You know what? You said something, so, because I'm taking notes as you speak, but it's, how can we make it a better world? And that comes from individually doing it.
Yes, absolutely.
Collectively.
Absolutely. And we have to, I think it's really important that we continue. We don't ever forget, because here's the thing. People clear the way. You know, they went through some serious hardships, you know, to clear the way to make progress for us. And we should not, we should not be lax, or we should not lay down on our responsibility to continue to raise awareness, because...
And raising awareness does not have to be doing looting and breaking and hurting. I mean, that's more, that's just going to add more fuel to the fire.
Sure.
I'm going to switch gears now, and I want to talk about something that, So how did you become, because you're such a, you're just so awesome, multi-purpose author, strategist, filmmaker, podcast host. Tell us about filmmaking. And then tell us a little bit about your podcast host, because you did three documentaries on women empowerment. And I saw one of your documentary films for Nashville. That was amazing. What drew you to that? What made you want to do an empowerment documentary in New York, Nashville, and
good
LA?
Good question. Thank you for that. So when I think about core women, and let me really quickly go over core women and the premise for core women. So core women, K-O-R-E, is how we kinetically connect.
Right.
That's what the K stands for. So we as women are moving. We're constantly moving. But through that movement, how do we, because everything's going so fast today, how do we actually connect? So that's what the K stands for. And it got me thinking, like, how do we stop? How do we, or as we're moving, how do we connect with each other? Then how do we organically learn from one another? How do we learn from other people's modeling? How do we learn from their behavior? And then how do we reshape their lives through diverse interaction? How do we reshape our lives through diverse interaction? And then how do we energize one another as women to promote change? Because there's a lot out there in relation to we could promote each other, or we can work against each other. And I want to promote one another. Like, it's a...
So kinetically connect is the K. Organically learn.
Reshape lives through diverse interaction.
Reshape.
So I'm talking about diversity, us all being different.
And then
energize one another to promote change. And so when I was thinking about core, I was thinking about all these various things. And so going back to the movies, when I thought about this company, I was actually in the presence of some really good friends. And I decided I would... My husband had retired from the Marine Corps. We were in DC. We were always planning to go back to California. And I thought to myself, here I am. What is it, Summer, that you want to do with your life? And I decided to take a trip to California, from DC to California, and be with some of my really close friends. And as we were interacting, and as I saw them in the living room, we were in Newport Beach, just having some 3 days of being together. And as I saw them interacting, I thought to myself, does every woman have this? Does every woman have a core group of women?
No,
What's
missing.
And I thought, not everyone has this. And even if we have it at one point of in our lives, we may not have it throughout our lives. And that core group might change. So how can I offer this back to other women?
That's true.
And so when I think about the theme, the string, the core of what, how I connect community, that is through podcasts, that is through film, that is through books, that is through, and I always stick to my foundation, and that is core, those elements. And so, well, thank you. And
love
so
it.
The, all these things, podcast, book, film, offshoots of empowering women, of keeping it with core, you know, creating that core with other women. So the film, I decided I wanted to get women together across the country in different places. So I took my, you know, I took myself and, you know, my filmmaker, and I took them to LA with me, and got a bunch of women together who are attorneys, authors, marketers, and they all joined me. And not all of them lived in Los Angeles. Two of them lived in Washington, the state of Washington, and actually flew. And I met them on social media. And they flew out to be a part of that that process, to be a part of that film. And I was just like, wow, that is impressive. That is so amazing. So I bring these women together. They start talking about their journeys, and they start talking about, you know, their lived experiences. And when I go back to, as a researcher, I go back to my research. I'm what you call, one, an Adlerian. So I come from an Adlerian perspective. So I like when I not only study people, but when I work with people, I look at the human condition. I look at all the various factors that make up their functioning and behavior. And so as...
Oh, hell, then why did you pick me on social media?
I love the way that you work. And it's different. And I like the diversity, Sharon. I love that you're diverse. I love that you're getting attention in a different way. I love your books. And I love your energy.
Tiny bit.
And to me,
and same here,
that diversity is so empowering. It's so unique. And why not? Why don't we join with people that are different? Why don't we learn from, you know, the different people in the world? I mean, it's important to understand diversity.
Right. Because there's a lot of sameness out there. And I'm seeing it. And I'm like, that's just the same, you know, vanilla. Ooh, pistachio. Okay. Ooh, you know. Ooh, strawberry. But, you know, I get it. Yeah. And there's a lot. And I think that comes from, and you mentioned that in your book.
Yes.
Your core story. So I definitely, gosh, everybody who's listening, you guys have got to get this little book. It's The Strategic Guide to Understanding Your Personal Beliefs. And it's called Fuck Yeah. So it's really, you know, have you ever wondered why people use strong language? And I can tell you from my point of view, and you probably can understand that, and I'll do it as a test. If I drop some F-bombs, two things happen.
Right.
Either I lose followers or I gain a whole shitload. And I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah.
It's like you clean house. You're like, okay, these are the people that can relate. And then the people that are like, ooh, I don't like it. It's offensive. But, okay, well, then it's not for you.
And that is okay.
And it's okay.
Everybody gets to choose their path, but we have to learn, you know, I think what's important to learn is understanding diversity. And there's so much more to us than maybe a word that comes out of our mouth. There's so much more to us in relation to maybe just our skin color. There's so much more. We are so much more, you know, and why are we not taking the opportunity to learn from one another?
You know what? I can tell you that answer. I think, and this is my point of view. Again, media. We're just shaped and molded for the people who let media influence them. Yes, I'll take snippets of what's going on, but just enough to say, okay, I know what's going on. How can I? And then go back to that magic phrase that you said, how can I make the world a better place? That's where I go back to. So I think some people are more in the response, the reaction.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. So I'm going to take you back to the film. So I did one in Los Angeles, and then I decided to go up to New York, and my filmmaker, he was an intern of mine with my nonprofit. And so I've worked with him on all these films. I've taken him with me everywhere I go. And he lives up in New York. And he actually went to college in Northern Virginia. And he did this great move because he was also a actor. And he moved to New York and he started acting on and off Broadway. And he is amazing. And so he thought, you know what, Summer, it would be great to do a film in New York with folks that are on and off Broadway of all ages, these young women to older women and marketers and those women who took the chance to go to the Big Apple and make their dreams come true. And so I had so many wonderful women who joined me with that film, and that was fantastic. And so then I decided, because here's the thing about Nashville. So many people, and this goes back to my podcast, so many young women and women in general are drawn to my podcast from Nashville. So I thought, well, why shouldn't I take my film?
Nashville's cool. I've been there four or five times. It's beautiful.
Love Nashville. Love the creativity that comes out of Nashville.
Yeah.
And these women were so flippin' fantastic. And they talked about issues such as working in the music industry, you know, the music industry and featuring women on radio and how still they're trying to confront, you know, the battle of not being featured enough on radio. And so we talked about that. We talked about their journeys. We talked about their development in the music industry. And it was a fantastic film to make. So I am,
are you going to be
not
doing
right
any
away,
more
of
films?
course, because of the quarantine. And what I did, though, was one of my first seminars on the East Coast, right before the quarantine. That was in February. And it was fantastic. I had six speakers. I had multiple vendors. It was, oh my gosh.
I remember seeing that. Yes.
Fantastic event. So I'm going to, once we are past quarantine, I'm going to do another seminar actually in Nashville. And of course, you're coming. So...
Yes, there's so many
fantastic people that want to be a part of that, and so I just can't wait, because Nashville is an amazing place. So
it's, and such is, oh, people no. think of it, it's all country music. It's not,
so
it's,
diverse.
Oh no, it's so yeah, diverse. It is not.
Yeah,
very diverse. Well, with that said, we're going to kind of wrap it up. I want to let people know one more time again where they can find you. It's all K-O-R-E women.com.
Instagram, Twitter.
Instagram.
And Facebook.
And Twitter. Your book is available at Barnes & Noble and on Amazon. And actually, I believe it's on your website.
There.
Just go to your website.
And I try to make it clean and simple, because I like the fact that, you know, it's easy to kind of maneuver through the website. Number one, I'm also a strategist and a coach.
Yes.
So if people are looking for coaching, I'm always available. And I also, with the book, our whole idea with this book was to make it a strategy book. So we talk about, you know, as you said, we talk about a lot. This book packs a lot of punch in just a
Yeah, it's how to discover your uniqueness and question your adopted values and understand your emotions. So it's just a wonderful little book. I love it. It's always like I said, you saw it. It's bent, and you know the bunny ears. I don't have bunny ears. I'm one of those people that put the little, those highlighted tabs. So it's got a tab in this and highlights, and you know, it's just
absolutely.
That's how books should be read, I think. But books should books are all like
author
that.
Author said to me what she said.
But I.
The biggest, you know, she goes, the, what was it? The biggest, you know, compliment is seeing one of my books all tabbed up, because that means that, you know, I'm getting people's thoughts going, you know, I'm really, you know, inciting thought and such. But in the back of this book, there's a lot of strategy. So we wanted to make sure that we offered you something of value to walk away with and go and to actually work on oneself. So...
Right. So it gives you, and then it's got a couple of
colors. Oh my gosh. Mandalas.
Mandalas. So those
awesome.
Are, yes, I colored on one of them on the very back. And so that's kind of cool. It's like, oh, it's the, you know, back to that art journaling, that therapy when you talked about with the bullying and the trauma.
Sure.
So, well, I wanted to ask you a couple of quick, just super funny things. I mean, they're not big, but I just always ask people. So is it sock, shoe, or sock, shoe? So it's sock, shoe. Okay. Tortillas,
flour.
You like flour or corn?
Definitely flour, but I know I should be eating more corn because they're probably better for me. So
flour. Okay. And then beans. Okay, so you like refried frijoles or do you like
refried? Definitely.
Arrachado.
Oh yeah.
Which ones do you like? Refried. Okay. And toothpaste, is it wet brush and then paste, or is it just paste
it
and then water? Which one do you
It is toothpaste then water.
That's the only thing I could think of on the top of my head. That's all I could think of. So I just want to say thank you again so much for being here. And it's been fun. And we'll do it again. I'm just, like I said, everybody, please go follow her on her social medias. Go check out her books, her book, the documentaries. Just if you need a fire lit on your ass, go do it. It's amazing what you're doing. And so like, attract like. So again, thank you.
Well, thank you, Sharon.
You
are an absolute light. I look at your stuff that you put on social media and you are so insightful. You make me laugh. I love to follow you. You are authentic and you're just a complete treasure. So thank you.
Oh, Lord. Oh, thank you. Hey, one more question though. I forgot this because you did this to me on the podcast. one last piece of advice that you could give anybody listening, and then we'll hang out.
Okay. Let's see. That's
some type of advice. Anything you want to give advice on.
Be kind to yourself, be kind to others. You know, and if you don't know how to do that, please, you know, look into that, explore how you can be kind to yourself, because that is something learned. And sometimes we just don't know how to actually show ourselves some grace. And it's important to be able to show ourselves some grace, because if we don't know how to do that for ourselves, how do we do that for others?
That's true. Oh, I love it. So I'm going to definitely write that one in there.
Thank you, Dr.
Watson.
Thank you.
You too. For being here today. Have an awesome day. I'll talk to you soon. Guys, if you want to reach out, you can find me at middlefingerhappiness@gmail.com. And we're done. And I'll have a little disclosure in the beginning and the end, because this is my first remote
podcast.
We're done.
Thank you. Peace out.
Awesome.
All right. Thanks.
Okay, girl. Peace out. Take care.